Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
November 4, 2022, allegedly according to that thing we call a calendar. Yeah, we're already there in this alleged year of 2022. And so are you. It's Friars Day night, Friday night, and that means we do the open mic. And yes, the website is working. So, hello, hooray, hurrah, whatever it is you want to say, we're here. And we're not queer, but we're not going anywhere. Anyhow, it is Friday night. And can you tell I'm in one of those moods? Let's see what you got to say. You can join us, 319-527-5016. I hear rumors that we may have some rarefied callers tonight who haven't called in a while. But let's see if anybody follows through. You know, that's one of those things that doesn't happen very often. People threaten to do things, good and bad. And most of them don't. So we'll see who calls in. We'll see who joins us via Skype, which you can also do by reaching out to me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype, if you're on my Skype list. And even if you're not, reach out to me on there. Send me a message. I will call you into the show through Skype. If not, the lines are open, and I can carry, allegedly, up to 1,000 callers. You know, I'm very sure I can carry a couple of dozen, though, because I've done that. It's not a problem, and there is no blacklist, despite the rumors also. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. Going to try not to repeat myself too many more times, because if I wanted to repeat myself, I could talk to B-Pete, my co-host. Now I'm just making stupid jokes. I am tired. I was up all night fixing the website and taking control of stuff and all that. So who knows what's going to come out of my mouth in the next 2 hours. And again, totally unpredictable because new callers get the priority. You can bring on and discuss anything you want if you call in. And we'll let you lay the topic on the table as you join. 319-527-5016. B. Pete, I actually have a couple of things in mind to talk to you about, but I just want to hear what's on your mind first. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a hectic week, but a good week, and we're enjoying some wonderful weather. In fact, it's going to be up to 80 degrees tomorrow. I mean, that's like summertime.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to get like 85. You know what? I'm going to step away from the mic because you might not be able to hear it, but in my monitor, I have that vibrating noise, and I think it's because of the ceiling fan. I'm going to have to cut that because it's going to drive me insane. But, yeah, so there's your weather report. But what else is going on while I step away from the mic?
Oh, not much. Getting ready to really getting ready to start diving into this, ripping out the kitchen. I got everything cleared out. Pretty much. I got a couple appliances I got to move and take to Goodwill or the dump, whichever I get to first. And then we're going to start surgically removing the entire floor in that section of the house, fix a couple joists and redo a little bit of electrical. And then we can start putting the kitchen back together. So this is, we're getting ready to dive into a heavy duty section here on this rehab project.
Yeah, long process. I thought you had already tackled a good portion of the kitchen. I remember you started pulling it apart months ago, didn't you?
Yeah, but I mean, I've had other things come up in between, plus work, but I've got to figure out how far I'm going to cut back a wall. Once I decide to do that, I may have to put in a support beam or run a double header up there just to carry the weight across the span. I'm not sure yet, so.
I got you. Well, look, there's going to be a lot more work that I got to do, but it's I am not a home improvement guy. I can put in a shelf or whatever, but I'm not doing much of the home improvements. Actually, my home improvements are going to be online with the website and everything. We're going to make some changes and see what we can do with getting us further out there. Oh, that reminds me, just really fast, before you go and tell us more about your renovations, the deadline for the stickers, okay, and other little goodies that I'll put into a flat envelope is selection day, which is Tuesday. So day after, I'm going to go to the mailbox. I'm going to go to the post office. I have some stamps. I think I don't even need more than my, book of 20, I guess, that I have. If I put two stamps on each one, I don't even think I have 10 supporters to send things out to. So if you want to get in on that, I'll send you a guaranteed, I don't know, 5-6 of the little syndicate stickers and maybe some other stuff. I promised that I would put silver certificates into. I got a couple of old beat up silver certificates. I'll put them into the envelopes randomly. And, you know, I always mail playing cards to people. So there'll be a few things. I still got a couple of aces of spades left if somebody wants an autograph for some reason. But I'll randomly insert this stuff and get them out to you if you support the network in any way. Get on the list, send me a postal address, and make a donation of just about any size. And even internationally, I'll send them out anywhere in the world. You're a supporter, just make the request and make a donation. Very simple. Up until Election Day, I guarantee I'll have more stickers left. Because like I said, I know I don't even need to send out 10 envelopes probably. But, you know, hey, surprise me. I'll send out more. You know, you give me the money to buy more stamps, I'll send out more of them. So it's that simple. I'll send out a bunch of stuff. I got a couple of guitar picks left. I got a few other things I dug up as well. And I always put business cards in. So you'll get a random package with the syndicate stickers. And that's that new thing, kind of an homage to the Godfather look of the logo and, you know, some other stuff in a flat envelope, which I think is a fair, nice little thank you. You know what else I was looking at in BP, and I wanted to get your opinion on it, but I do want to get more into these renovations, too. But your opinion, what would you think of an Ocelli.com coffee mug?
Well, I'll put one to use. I know that much, since I usually have a cup of coffee anytime I'm up around my desk. So, in fact, I got one now. Yeah. An Ocelli mug would look very good, but it's got to be at least a three-finger handle. Mm. None of this one-finger, two-finger crap. It's got to be able to put three fingers in that sucker and have some size to it.
Yeah, so the fair price that I got offered was on a, I think it's a 12-ounce cup. Which I think is a fair size, and it's got that C design for the handle, because I got kind of slightly thick fingers as well, so I'm thinking, you know, I gotta have something I can put a couple of fingers into the. This sounds like a weird conversation. A couple of fingers into the handle, you know.
Well, think about it. If you were to grab this thing like a baseball with your fingers through that, and you were getting ready to chuck it at somebody, having a three finger hole gives you much better control than a two finger hole.
You know, that's true. And I think we might just have a limited run of, say, like 36 of these things, which, you know, I'll probably give four of them to Mrs. O because she's a constant coffee drinker. Keep one for myself and probably, you know, 30 of them I'll put up for sale. The only trouble is that it would probably be a gift, you know, not like a direct purchase, but a gift. Like you make a donation of, I don't know, an amount. And if you do make that minimum donation, we'll send you the coffee cup as a thank you. Not a direct purchase, though, because the postal cost is too much. Even if I can get these things printed cheap, to mail a damn coffee mug is expensive. You know?
Well, then you set your price to include your postage. I mean, I'd purchase one. Doesn't matter what the postage is on. I'd purchase a couple of them.
Well, let's just say so. I did it the same way I did the hats, right? And the hats went out, you know, $30. You get a thank you. Right? And that was not that the hat is $30. The hat is your thank you gift for donating at least $30. And, I know you like your hat.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, but let's just say I had to do that to cover the postage because believe it or not, it'll cost a lot more to send a coffee mug than it did a hat.
Well, I mean, however you want to do it, I was going to say though, if you want to sell some of them, put a price on them that would, you know, cover your postage cost on it. And it wouldn't deter somebody from when you explain that here's the mug plus postage, here's the total.
Mm. I mean, because it wouldn't,
can't expect free delivery. I mean, hell, you're not Amazon.
No,
so,
I'm not.
You know, whatever the cost is, let them pay it. If they want it, they want it. It's worth it.
Yeah, but the trouble is, again, you know, if I set that price at $30, I'm just being realistic, right? The damn things cost, you know, a few dollars to print. So let's just say overall cost and also to have them physically mailed to me, ends up being, you know, about, I don't know, $10 a unit, say, or $12 a unit. on a short run. And then you got to include at least another $10 to mail it anywhere in the U.S. So you're talking about $20-something already. And then, you know, nice if I make something between, you know, so I can pay the PayPal fees and whatnot. So, I mean, it could be that I say, look, you know, $30 minimum and you get a coffee cup. What do you think?
Well, sounds good. I mean, yeah, it's doable.
You know, and then I could offer an international price, like outside of the U.S., you got to add a few more dollars, and they got to understand that, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the most extreme example would be sending it to Australia, and our friend in Australia will probably want one. You know, and I would try to get him the best price possible, but I'm thinking, you know, if it's like $30 U.S., it might have to be $40 international just to cover it, you know?
Or, especially if you're going somewhere like Switzerland.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, again, I don't want to... But that's the thing, is I hate this idea of... This is why I hate doing it. Because overcharging somebody would be like, oh, I paid, you know, $50 for a coffee mug. Well, no, you didn't. You paid $50 to support the network, but, you know, you got a mug as a thank you. You know, so, I mean, that's I don't know. I just feel better wording it that way. Is that stupid?
No, not at all.
All right, so that may be a thing, and it might be a wraparound graphic design, including the Syndicate graphic, but also the standard Ocelli graphic, which, again, is a lot of black printing on the mug. And I don't know. I don't do coffee mugs very often. I've had a couple of custom ones made over the years, but I used to like them, and a couple of people have actually asked for them.
Only using a Harley Davidson mug, which is about, I guess, a third of a liter. It's a three-finger handle.
Hmm.
Good heft, wide base.
Well, this would be a little smaller, you know. I mean, like an 11, 12-ounce coffee mug, standard, you know, sort of shape coffee mug. What do you think?
Yeah. I don't know. I've got a mug I picked up. My girlfriend in Switzerland, her daughter gave it to me, and it is enough. I can, you know, the little Mr. Coffees has got the five-cup pot?
Yeah.
The smallest one. Well, that pot is perfect for that mug. So, you know, Mr. Coffee figures, I think they go by a 6-ounce cup, not an 8-ounce cup. It depends, you know, different people use different measurements for a cup. That's why you can never get anybody to make coffee the way you like it, because they're not used to the way you do it.
Well, and that's why I'm saying 11, 12 ounces. It's 11 something or 12 ounces, I think, is the dimensions on this thing, is what it would hold liquid-wise, which I think is good.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah, if it'll hold, I think a medium in most quick marts is 16 ounces.
Yeah.
A large, 20 ounces. So, yeah, anything below 6, small is, I think, 8 ounces.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
that'll nudge.
Yeah, so if I'm giving you, you know, 10 ounces for the coffee itself and 2 ounces to put your cream and sugar, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know.
Cream and sugar? You gonna put that much in there?
I don't know.
Drinking syrup.
Not me. I'm generally giving people room, and also not to bring it to the top, you know?
My sister-in-law, she loves coffee, but once she got those flavored creamers,
she started
about a third of a cup of coffee and two-thirds creamer.
Well, yeah, there's people like that, too, and you can't make them happy any which way unless it's like a 24-ounce cup, because they're going to put like 13 ounces of crap in it, and then, you know, add some coffee to their creamer that they really just want to drink. Right?
Exactly.
So, anyway, no, it's just a thought, and I wanted to get your feedback on it first, because I definitely, you know, you and Mrs. O are the two most consistent coffee drinkers I know, and now I'm trying to figure out why a dog is whining outside of my door. But, anyways, yeah, no, it was just a thought. But, meanwhile, yeah, tell us a little more about the renovations. And again, you guys could, call in and tell us about anything you want, or let me know what you think. Jesus, the dogs are out. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, I gotta go deal with that. But, yeah, tell us what you think about the coffee mugs, or, if you're doing renovations, or you want to talk politics. Okay, I guess. We actually got through a whole Friday night, a week or two ago. No politics whatsoever. Plus, we have still not convened our council on the poker game, although I brought it up to a couple people.
Yes, we need to. We need to get that nailed down.
Yeah, we need to get that going, because could be that we do, you know, the show up to 10 o'clock and an hour of poker, or maybe an hour of show and 2 hours of poker. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what the interest level is. And if people find it interesting if we do this on video, I don't know. Could be a lot of fun, and who knows? Maybe it's a great little other fundraiser. You know, people could bet, have side bets, and bet on which one of us is going to be victorious. How about that? My money's on VP. Anyway, did I say that out loud?
No.
All right.
Although, I don't know. My luck here lately on video poker and playing Keno has really gone down the tubes. Hmm. I've been getting hit hard. I mean, like $1,100 a clip.
Right.
Of course, you know, I've been hitting for 11 and up to 64, but it's getting harder and harder to get it. It's almost like you got to pump the machine now. You know, you're putting in 900 to make 1,400.
Right.
It's getting to be like work.
Well, you know, another thing is it might be an unfair advantage. We might all get took by Mike Swanson because
you never know.
He's got a lot more casino experience and stuff. He goes on a casino, you know, junkets now and then, just straight up. I don't know if you caught. Well, you probably didn't catch the podcast from last night because I put it out just, you know, a little while ago. But well, actually, I put out I think the podcast. I don't know, this morning. Doesn't matter. Point is that Mike goes a lot, and we were talking about Caesar's Palace and stuff because they're opening up one near him, I guess, in Virginia. So you know, but he goes a lot more to play poker. So anyway,
yeah, here we rely on our Native American tribe to run the big casino up in the mountains.
Fair enough. Look, I'm gonna go try. Yeah, real quick. Sorry, I'm gonna go try and deal with the dogs, but I'm also adding a caller via Skype, and somebody that we have not heard from in a while, and hopefully he's all set up because it's been quite a while since we heard from this gentleman, but I'm glad to hear from him, and you know, once we get him connected, give him my apologies for having to go deal with the dogs, but I'll be right back, and we are currently calling an individual who has joined us on the air before, and we have not heard from in a while, so I think he's connected now.
Yes, sir.
Is it Joe?
It is indeed. It is from the deep, dark hills of Kentucky, the regular one himself.
So how are you doing?
Oh, you know, just hanging in there as usual. How are you, BP?
Oh, I'm doing good. Chucker had to run and check on the dogs real quick. I was getting ready to discuss a little bit of renovation I'm having to do on this hovel that I'm soon going to be buying. But it's really getting interesting. I got to rip the whole kitchen floor out now, and I think I got two bad joists under there that we're going to have to either jack and sandwich or totally replace. So it's getting ready to get interesting.
DIY, huh?
Oh yes. So how are you doing? Haven't heard from you in a long time.
I'm just older and my hair's grayer, you know what I mean?
I finally cut mine. I met Mrs. O earlier this year and picked up books and stuff, and she was surprised I had a ponytail down my back and ended up cutting it all off. So now it's all gray.
Oh wow, that was hard to part with, I bet.
Mm-hmm. It was traumatic. Turned gray, solid gray overnight.
mine all seems to be turning gray in the front. Oh, there's Chuck.
Yeah, my apologies for having to go deal with the 8-year-old and the dogs. Mrs. O is taking a nap, so had to go deal with the house while on air. But anyway, regular Joe, man, it is so good to hear from you. Was wondering where you've been. I know you were working for a particular grocery chain for a minute, but you know, doing your thing post-pandemic, trying to recover like the rest of us. How you doing? What is happening in Kentucky?
Buddy, I gotta be honest with you. Your guess is as good as mine because I barely poke my head out the door anymore. I've become more reclusive than I've ever been in my entire life, and I've always had a tendency to be reclusive.
Oh yeah, but, I mean the original. Get the hell off my.
It's just shut me down, man. You know, I've shut out all media, and of course, I don't have any social media. I just, you know, read headlines sometimes, and that's about it. And I just do that for a laugh.
Right. You're still leaving the Twitter disabled, are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm completely gone still. I never did rejoin, and I'm certainly not going to now that the new owner is taking control.
Oh, so you are aware of Elon Musk's new regime coming in. He's apparently going to run a series of layoffs. Even though his defenders said that he wasn't going to, but he's going to have a series of layoffs. And a bunch of these tech-based companies apparently are going to have huge layoffs. So wonder if that's going to slow down the allegedly moving too fast economy. You know, a bunch of people at Lyft and Twitter are going to be jobless all of a sudden. Wonder what happens there. I mean, you know, can you bitch on Twitter if you get fired by Twitter? Is that allowed? I wonder. I guess we're going to find out. So,
I'll tell you another headline I saw concerning Twitter and Elon Musk. I saw another headline that said Amber Heard's Twitter account mysteriously disappeared after his acquisition.
Well, you know, he doesn't want to take any shit. I mean, I'm just saying. Anyway, I know. Amber Turd, I love it. It's still funny to me. Like, how do you, and the whole back and forth about that, I have sympathy for Johnny Depp. Oh, Amber Heard was so, and I'm like, you people are literally still engaging in this celebrity watch. I care deeply about people that are so privileged. They have no concept what the real world is like. I mean, Johnny Depp has been, what, a star since, I don't know, the first Nightmare on Elm Street, or maybe it was the second one. Whatever.
I know it was before I was in high school, and I'll have to tell you, there were two people that I worked with when I was still in the workforce. I've since left the grocery chain, and, you know, to my defense, that's why I couldn't participate anymore, because I worked through your show. I was the evening closer because I was in management, so.
Yeah, I know. I would have gladly kept you in as a regular spot. We could have done regular guy news, you know, in perpetuity. Things have been different ever since you departed, though. I got to be honest with you.
I got to be honest. I've missed you guys quite a bit. I've thought about you the whole time, and I tried to stay in touch with you here and there where I had the time. But I had two people that I worked with in that store who were just absolutely obsessed with that whole Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial, and I just didn't care. They were like, "Whose side are you on?" I was like, "I don't give a shit."
Pick a side, damn you. Pick a side. I love that. Pick a side. I am most often the guy who goes, "What? I hate them both." I just...
Exactly. I mean, they're just privileged celebrities. Why do you care?
If I care at all, I'm usually on the side of they both suck. I mean, that's yep. Literally like my default position. It doesn't matter if it's politics or if it's celebrity versus celebrity or, you know, royal family versus pedophile lawsuit. I usually sit there, look at it and go, I think the whole thing is scum. I don't care. You know, Right. Generally. But if I do... care at all, it's usually a strong feeling that everybody deserves whatever the hell they get and doesn't get all they deserve. So screw them. I really, Amber Turd.
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
100% agree. Amber Heard, I mean, I can't stand to watch her in film because I always feel like she's reading her lines to me poorly.
I never noticed her in a film. I gotta be honest. I don't. Maybe I've watched the wrong films. I don't care. You know. Oh, she's so good looking. I don't care. You know.
Same here. Same here. She was in Pineapple Express, and that's when I realized, ooh, this girl can't act.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I remember that movie. That was that stupid Josh whatever. You know. The guy.
Seth Rogen and James Franco.
That's it.
And
Seth
Amber Heard
Rogen.
Was his high school girlfriend and all that.
That's it. I thought his name was Josh. No, I'm sorry. You're right. Seth Rogen. And, you know, Seth Rogen was popular for a minute because it's like, look, I'm a chubby guy with a beard and I'm kind of quirky. So, you know, I'm charming. That was his whole shtick. And, look.
Now Jonah Hill too, right?
Same thing. They're the same guy. Who cares? You know.
I have a hard time telling the difference between the two sometimes. Well, if Jonah Hill wasn't so much shorter, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
There you go. And if there wasn't, like, you know, some weed jokes in there, I probably wouldn't have never even looked at the five clips of that movie I looked at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think vaguely I remember it was something about they got pot, really good pot from a guy, and then all of a sudden a dealer was after them and going to kill them or something. and I think the name of the pot was Pineapple Express. Literally, that's my whole synopsis of the movie, and probably there's not much more to it.
No, that's pretty much it. You pretty much covered it. That's a great summary, actually.
All right, nailed it. Anyway, but I don't care about Seth Rogen. I don't care about none of these. Oh, what about the celebrity of this person? And there's some basketball player right now that's in trouble for, I don't know, retweeting some anti-Semitic movie or... And again, I just don't care. You know, it's like, ugh.
I've become the same way with politics, because we've talked about this many times. I've been away for a while, but I still remember that we have compared celebrityism and politics many, many times, because the line is so fine, you'd trip over it if you didn't know.
Yeah, fair enough. And here we go again. Of course, Musk restored Trump to Twitter and knew that was coming. A lot of other people.
I didn't see that. That's news to me.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, though, is a lot of people going, you know, Chuck, you think that these guys are all working together. I guarantee you Elon Musk is not going to restore Donald Trump to Twitter. I said, give him 24 hours. And I think it was less. So, you know, everybody's telling me no. And I'm going, guys, you don't understand how this works. Trump is profitable to a media platform he appears on. I mean, he's not as profitable to his own. His Truth Social or whatever, you know, clearly it's not running that well because he's running it. But if you run your own media platform and you involve this guy intensely, you'll do fine. I mean, look at how well Alex Jones expanded being on the Trump train. Oh, of course, his lawsuits, you might not be aware of that either. The lawsuits.
What was the final settlement on that? Close to $1 billion. It was like $999 million or something like that.
Well, which one? Because there's the settlement in Connecticut, or the you know, the case in Connecticut. There's a case in Texas. Case I forget. There's two other states, maybe. Anyway, various cases. But the thing is, they can sue him for that much money because he can produce that much money.
He can sell a lot of iodine.
Iodine, male enhancement pills, whatever. I mean, he'll get there. You know, I mean, it won't even probably touch his regular salary between all his little shell companies and stuff. So don't even worry about that. You know, and people are like, oh, this is a freedom of speech issue. I'm going, my God. You know, everybody wants you to pick a side all the time, forces you. Pick a side. But, you know, most of the time, it's got nothing to do with you anyway. So why? Why are you picking a side? You know,
I still say we need to get Fetzer on here. Just that topic of free speech versus slander. Just to let him, give him a platform so that he, yes, this was a free speech issue, and they shouldn't have this, and they shouldn't have that, because I would love to pick him apart.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do, Pete, with this social media stuff. They agree to the terms of service before they activate their account.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not a free speech issue. It's a follow the rules of the platform issue, which you agreed to follow.
Yeah.
Well, both Alex Jones and Fetzer have both claimed that, you know, this whole thing about Sandy Hook is nothing more than a free speech issue, and their free speech is being curtailed. They're having to pay a penalty for it. And I'd take that debate with either one of them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Alex Jones, to say, okay, well, where's that line between free speech and making money off of claiming these people were crisis actors?
Although you got to find your way to being a little less hostile to Fetzer than you were to Glenn Viklund. I still think he's not talking to me, Glenn.
He had it coming. I'm sorry. Glenn bit that whole piece off and couldn't chew it. Screw him.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, he's still not talking to me, which is sad. Oh, another quick announcement just for the record, because we are going to go ahead and take one of our half-hour breaks here now, because I do that now, Joe. Sometimes I take a half-hour break, and sometimes I say screw it. But we do breaks a little more often. Anyway. Okay. Really fast, I am going to participate in the JFK Lancer event this year, a little bit. And nice thing, next year they're going to go back to in person. So if I can find a way to come up with enough money to go to Texas, I may indeed go back to Texas for the 60th anniversary. But
next year. We'll just go ahead and plan on going. We'll plan a road trip.
You want to go with me?
Might as well swing through there on the way to Texas while we're there. Go see my brother in Houston.
Hey, there you have it. So if I get a chance to present, I'm pretty sure they'll let me bring a guest too, so we can save at least the money on that.
That's not an issue. That's not, no, whether they do or don't. We'll plan a road trip out of it, and I'll set my, by then we should be winding down on this job, that it wouldn't be a problem for me to take a week off.
Well, just a real quick note though, Mrs. O is also talking about maybe, you know, having her and Frankie go along with me. So could be we go ahead and, I don't know, rent a minivan or something. And, why not? That could be a really interesting road trip.
Well, I'll just drive down there, and then we'll pick up a rental and go from there.
All right. Hey, look, it's an idea. It's a plan. We still got a year. But in the meantime, the event this year will be virtual, but next year they are going to do it in person. Gabby Glenn announced that last night on the show, which she did her first podcast ever, you know, to promote Lancer. So that was interesting. And we had the return of Larry Hancock finally. So anyways.
If nothing else, get a hold of Walt Brown, and while you're doing your thing, I can go over to Judas' thing and sell copies of his book.
I don't know if Judy's doing a conference. You know, every year she threatens not to, so we'll see, right?
She's going to milk that thing till she's 3 years in the ground. She'll be finding a way to milk it.
You know what? I do believe you're right, and there is a consideration. I'm willing to bet I could get Walt to send us a box of books to try and sell them. So
tell him how to sell them.
You know what? If he gives me a good price on them and a little price break, I guarantee I'll sell them. How about that? I will hawk those things directly at Lancer, and then we can bring them over to Judy's conference too.
Set up a table in the lobby of her hotel, and I mean, if I pay for the space, it's nothing she can say, really.
Well, either that, or honestly, we could throw a blanket on the ground in front of the hotel on the street, and pay the $50 fine. If the cops come, because
and film the whole thing. I'd love to catch her coming in the door.
Oh, especially if she comes out to yell at us directly for selling the book. That would be the best. That would be priceless. It would almost be, but I'd have to get somebody else to put it up on YouTube because I've been, you know, deleted. But I'll definitely put it up on BitChute and Rockfin. We do have another Skype caller going to join us. Nobody else has joined us via the phone line just yet, but they are open. 319-527-5016. We're going to go to a quick break and return with another Skype caller. But the live open mic night with my co-host VP, regular Joe, has joined us. Big surprise there. Glad he did. But, yeah, we're going to collect our thoughts and come right back. Stick around.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to The Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you from smoking weed. Yeah. You're kidding me. You're kidding me.
News, entertainment, and more. You will learn something, children's. Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Long break, second segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Friday night. The open mic is in full effect, and we are here with my co-host B. Pete, and we're joined by regular Joe in the first segment, but now get ready for the voice himself, and that is Nature Boy has joined us also via Skype, which you can do by messaging me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype, and I will call you into the show. That's the way that works, but you want to take the initiative yourself, 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. And with the website being back up, we do have the fully operational chat room as well. You can join up at Ocelli.com or go in there anonymously on the Listen Live page. So that is live as well. Everything is working, thankfully. 319-527-5016, the live chat room at Ocelli.com, or reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Enough out of me. B. Pete, we are joined by Nature Boy, and we had a bit of fun with regular Joe so far, but I guess it's his turn to throw something on the table, unless you got something else we got to get to first. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, nothing pressing. We can turn it over to the new caller and let him throw out the topic du jour.
There you go. Nature Boy, you're on.
There is a topic that we talked about over the break, but I don't think it's appropriate for mixed company or on air, but other than that,
okay.
it involves ponytails and bad attitudes, so just put it like that. But that's a different story.
Ponytails and
I
bad
really don't
attitudes.
Have.
Huh? Joe?
Oh, you didn't hear that?
No, I didn't hear that part because I went to go get a drink. But Joe, did you cut your hair?
Are you me?
Yeah, you short haired completely again.
Yeah, I've got short hair again, but it wasn't my ponytail.
No problem. You know what it is? I was just saying that I think I'm the only one on the call that currently has a ponytail anyway.
How dare you, Chuck? How dare you accuse him of that?
I'm the bad guy. That's why.
That was a little hint, by the way.
Cool. Anyways, so we were talking about ponytails during the break, and I missed it, and it's not appropriate for mixed company. Okay, cool enough, but I'm sure that's not what's on your mind, Nature Boy. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to call in and hang out with you guys. It's Friday night. It's not Wednesday. That was a fun little episode. But the show must go on. So, you published it, so I guess I did an okay job filling in for you at the last minute. Hopefully I didn't get you canceled.
we'll see how Apple reacts. I listened to part of it, and I put it out on the distribution as the Nature Boy Effect because my internet was so screwed up on Wednesday that I could not appear on my own show. So Nature Boy just interviewed the guests, and I know what part of the discussion was, but we'll see. Apple is starting to issue new edicts regarding content, so we'll see if I get kicked off of that platform next.
we hit a couple. I mean, when we went down, you know, we hit the medical procedure and virus that shall not be named subject a couple times, but I didn't go hard on it. I mostly kind of just backed off as more as the third party is like, why is this looked at? Why is this thing not looked at? As opposed to, you know, doing what I hear too many people going, it's this that caused it. My whole thing is nobody really knows because no studies have been done on it. So my position is there is a problem. Why is it not being investigated? And that's pretty much kind of where I left it for the most part. But we had a real interesting conversation, man.
I got you. You know, but two of the last five strikes I suffered on YouTube actually are attributed to the show that you took over for me on another night yet again when the internet went down. And so I'm just telling you, when at that point at which I had gotten five strikes somehow and still the channel was up, two of them were attributed to a show I guess you took over, and maybe Australian Ben was on it as well.
That's why I put in the show description. Did I even put in, I hope we don't get canceled. I hope Nature Boy doesn't get us canceled or something like that.
Yeah.
But,
it's
not going on YouTube.
Whatever it is.
So, you know, but I did.
Yeah, we'll see what Apple
does.
Throw
in, hopefully Blind Joe's song doesn't catch it, because I had to fill some time at the end of the segment. So I threw in Lady MAGA and then, his song. I almost called him her. Oh my God. Ryan, if you're listening, please forgive me. And then, that's Ryan Woods. And then Joe's song at the end of it, I Will Not Comply.
Oh, you put I Will Not Comply in. You know what I've been putting in is, Glory to the Lord and, Hardwood. What is it? Hardwood Floor.
Hardwood Floor. Hardwood Floor.
That's it. Yeah, I've been putting those into the shows and I haven't had an issue. I Will Not Comply, I still got in the library too. Every once in a while it ends up on Short Attention Span DJ Theater. But
he's a hell of a songwriter, man. He really is. He knows how to write a really good song, and he knows how to produce a good song. You know, which is kind of a talent that seems to be lost in these days of auto-tune and electronics.
Well, and he's still learning too. We discussed part of that part of the progress that he's making actually as a producer on the last show I did with him, where we talked about the recording process. And I was actually kind of impressed at how he had melded in the steel guitar and the fiddle into the one part, which reminded me of Charlie Daniels just a touch. Not just Devil Went Down to Georgia, though. I mean, the stuff that they don't play on the radio with Charlie Daniels. There's a lot more to it than just, you know, hard saw and fiddling parts. But it was kind of interesting that way. I heard some of that stuff because Charlie Daniels' band is a very interesting band. Very solid rhythm section. And that's kind of what I was hearing on the one song that he did. You know. And then I like that one. Decide whether I'm actually stealing from this artist or I'm paying him, a tribute. I like that one too.
He does have some good lines on that, man. Plus, he has a fresh sound, but it's an homage and deeply rooted in original country.
Yeah.
You know, your Patsy Cline's, your Carter families, your Merle Haggard's, your Willie Nelson's.
Wait a second. You can't follow the word homage with Willie Nelson. Come on.
I know it's a contradiction of terms, homage. It's, and Willie is like, give me a joint, a guitar, and some people to play with.
I've always liked Willie Nelson, though. I got to tell you. So
same here.
Hey, I emceed for his kid Lucas Nelson years ago.
Nice.
And what a talent! Holy crap, man! He'd just chip off his old block, and it was three. It was him, his brother Lucas, and his other brother. And so I went out and we had an opening band and I just went back into the dressing room to say hi, just talk to him, hang out. And this is a no drinking venue, so it's definitely a non-smoking venue. And I kid you not, dude, it was like being out of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I opened up the door and it's like this cloud of smoke rolled out. I took a deep breath. I looked at him and smiled. I says, I could tell by the smell. This must be a Nelson family affair.
Well, see,
and
now,
they all laughed.
But I object to that because, you know what? That is really a good description for all the heavy metal practice rooms I was in the 90s, you know? And it's kind of weird.
Like coke and people having sex in the corner in those shows.
Well, that too, but
this was
I mean,
not like that.
No. But the weed, the weed smoke was always there. I mean, that was just, like... you got air, don't you? I'm just saying, and the thing is, it was always funny to me that we were playing this, like, really aggressive music, with guys that were totally stoned. Like death metal, but yet the place, anybody could get a contact high just walking into our practice, and I wasn't even smoking at the time, but I guess I was because I was getting hotboxed. You know, we do have another caller, B. Pete, and I do want to get to him, but did we let Nature Boy finish his initial thought even coming on or no?
I don't know. Did we, Nature Boy?
What thought?
All right.
Were you able to finish thought?
That's a challenge for me sometimes. You know, I just kind of go with the flow until the flow stops. So let's bring on the other caller. I'm good, actually.
All right. You know, fair disclosure here, transparency. I think a couple of the people on the line might, although one of them is on the wagon, I think a couple of people on the line might have had a rip during the break. So, you know, your results may vary. Let's go to the caller, though.
I'm looking up the word homage.
Homage, go ahead.
Yeah, let me know what it means.
Begins with an H. Begins with an H, don't forget. Homage, you know, is what it looks like on paper. So, new caller, you're on the air. You're not blacklisted. How you doing?
Doing all right. James is here, despite your blacklist.
Despite the black, you sound a little robotic, and that's not my fault. I don't have a pitch shifter on you, so I don't know what's going on there.
That's weird. Let me turn off my VPN. Let me turn off mobile data. So, does this sound any better?
BP, you be the judge. Does that sound better?
It did until that just kicked in. So.
Yeah, now we got the feedback. When we speak, we hear ourselves kick back.
How about now?
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Let's see.
It just delayed longer, but it eventually kicked in.
Anyway, Jimmy James, what's on your mind? I guess you'll just have to mute when you're not speaking.
Hopefully that'll fix the sound issues. Oh, not so much. Just calling in on a Friday.
Any exciting political races in your home state, brother?
I couldn't call the... I would assume that Whitmer would lose. It seems like she should lose, but who knows?
Oh, the governor's on the ballot? The governor's on the ballot Tuesday? Yeah, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, she's on the ballot. I would say that's probably the most contentious race.
Fair enough. I was just curious because Michigan I haven't paid attention to in a while. I mean, I've got Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock in my face here, which is pretty funny because they're just now throwing back and forth. Remember I said they were going to just, at a certain point, start throwing back and forth the domestic violence claims? Yeah, they're doing that now. So that's what we're getting pounded with everywhere you go. You know, Warnock tried to run over his ex-girlfriend with a car, and Herschel Walker put a gun to his ex-wife's head, and, you know.
Well, wait a minute. Is that known, or is that just alleged?
No.
They've been saying an awful lot of things about this Herschel guy.
No, it's not just alleged. He even talked about it publicly before. So, yeah, it's not an allegation. It did happen. Yeah. And the thing with Warnock happened, too.
Honestly.
Yeah.
These national races, what's so bizarre is supposedly they're within 5%, give or take. I mean, the country's completely destroyed. How could these polls be accurate? You would think that the party in control would be down, 30-40%?
Yeah, they are down. Somehow the polls are not showing that. I predict a serious wave that's going to, you know, we're so surprised. You know, I think that's just the game. So it's not, you know, remember the Super Bowl? You used to actually hear, you know, commentators go, yeah, well, we're trying to get excited about this, but we know it's going to be a blowout. It's just, that's the way it used to be. especially coming from the guy who bet on the Buffalo Bills like three times. You know, it was just, it was just the way it was. I think they don't want to just give into it. And there's the criticism that, you know, the more you say stuff like that, the more it just comes to fruition, because people that figure that their side can't possibly win just won't show up, and then the margin will grow. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's just, it is ridiculous to me that, you know, we're not seeing a wave of independent candidates, because, I mean, the clowns on both sides kill me. But I know you see it as it's just clowns on one side, but, and I don't disagree with you that they're there, but it's just, I don't get it. I don't get how anybody has confidence in any of these people.
No. I got to correct you there. I did not say they were not all clowns.
Okay.
I said that the ones that are affecting my life and making it miserable just happen to be from one specific sect.
Okay. All right. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But either way, there are plenty of people that are claiming that, you know, all of the bad stuff is on one side of the equation, and I just go, yeah, okay, good luck with that, because the balance of power is about to shift.
I mean, if they mean, clearly the so-called Democrat Party has very bad policies. Mm-hmm. And even they're starting to admit this, and they know they got to do something after this election. I'll be curious to see whether it be the Republicans or actually the Democrats who bring forth the 25th Amendment idea. I actually think it'll be the Democrats.
Well, that would be interesting if somebody tried to remove Biden for incompetence, huh? That would be interesting.
And I honestly think it'll be the Democrats who lead the effort, because they're going to get trashed, and they're going to say, well, we know we're going to get trashed again in 24 if this clown really tries to run.
Yeah, but do you really want President Harris? That's the other question. Does, you know,
well, it's not about, it's not, I honestly think the man has Alzheimer's. I mean, I'm sorry, he's not qualified.
Yeah, but removing Biden, but removing Biden would automatically have, you know, Kamala ascend to the presidency. You think that would be an improvement? Is my question.
My recollection from the Nixon days or the footage and whatnot, when they pulled the old switcheroony there. Mm-hmm. Put forward in. I think she would actually have to go through some kind of Senate process. Well, I mean, yeah, if he gets thrown out, she would be acting de facto president, but I do think she needs some kind of congressional vote. Is that anyone else's understanding?
That's not my understanding at all.
Remember what happened with Ford and Agnew. You know,
well, you see, Ford took Agnew's place because Agnew had to resign, right? And so he was in the position of vice president. However he got there is irrelevant. He's there. And when Nixon resigns, he automatically takes the office. I don't think the Congress has crap to do with it. And indeed, if they were to remove both of them simultaneously, as it stands at this moment, you'd have President Pelosi. I'm pretty sure. So, you know,
That's going to be ending in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, that ends in January. But I'm saying that for the time being, if it happened tomorrow, you know, you could have President Pelosi.
Well, that's never going to happen until after the.
Well, right.
Next election.
It won't happen until they take office in January anyway, which means the other Speaker of the House, the new one, will likely ascend. But I'm saying if they remove both, but at this time, if you remove Biden from office for any reason, President Harris is who you got.
Well, now wait, what if it's the Democratic Party themselves within their infrastructure that's suddenly does this and just flat out tells her, hey, you need to go too?
Well, then they would have to separately impeach her and remove her. Yes.
You have no support.
It doesn't matter. She would have to be impeached and removed because she currently holds the office that would automatically ascend to the presidency if there's a vacancy. So that's just what happens.
If she became president, do you honestly think she'd care if she had any president?
Don't
care.
I don't know. I think I might sleep for a week to not deal with the news. Maybe I'd turn off the internet on purpose.
Over this on the Halloween show.
Well, there's a trick or treat for you.
How was that woman a prosecutor? Are you telling me she actually went into a court of law and litigated a case?
Well, I got one word.
She can't speak coherent.
I got one word for you, Jimmy James. You ready for it? California. That's what it is.
Well, what's that mean? She doesn't go to court?
Well, no. She went to court and smiled at people that she was, getting busted for pot and everything else. No. I'm just saying that the whole reason why somebody like that can rise to a position like that is because they're from another planet, and it's called California. So there you go.
I was just working under the assumption that she had to have been a so-called figurehead. And then the ADA must have done the work, because I can't imagine her trying to push a case.
Well, isn't that the case in a lot of places, the ADAs actually do the work? I mean, even former Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey, as much as people wanted to ascribe all kinds of stuff that he supposedly did, and he was active and in the media space, which allowed him the possibility of that run in 2016, the truth is that most of the grunt work was done by a whole bunch of ADAs that he famously took credit for, until he didn't want to take credit. Remember Governor Krispy Kreme there in New Jersey? Anyway, probably everybody's forgotten who that is. But the point is that the ADAs do generally do most of the grunt work.
Yeah.
So,
just like old... good old Vinny Bugalosi there, and all the fine work he did out in California.
Yeah, right. His ADAs were constantly just trying to keep him from getting prosecuted, according to O'Neill's notes and a lot of interesting evidence for the crap that guy pulled. But, another guy who got, fame and fortune out of the district attorney slot, despite the fact that he didn't do as much work as, as he took credit for. But he didn't want to take credit for a lot of his other behaviors. Beating up his mistress and trying to get her to lose a baby, and stuff like that. I mean, fun stuff.
Yes. Well, the good news is, you may have remembered I mentioned car issues. So, less than $200. I'll get all that cleared up. That's good.
Oh, $200 to clear up a car issue? I'm telling you, you're lucky. Right? Your computer issue or whatever it was?
Yeah, that and the odometer is going to replace the odometer because it just says error now.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you're getting some relief there. Anyways, we do still have open phone lines, guys, 319-527-5016. We might take one more break at some point, but not just now. B. Pete, I kind of turn the reins over to you. We got Jimmy James, we got regular Joe with us, and we also got Nature Boy, so we do have an interesting roundtable to begin with if nobody else joins. But plenty of open lines, and I can add Skype callers as well if you contact me, charles.ocelli on Skype, and you're hearing the show live on the 4th day of November 2022, allegedly according to that thing we call a calendar. And you can join us and change the direction of the discussion any which way you want, because the new caller gets priority as far as the subject matter.
And I have to let BP, don't forget BP was the bookie, so I just want to let him know in advance of Abrams' sure defeat, I already paid Chuck.
He did. He sent me the $50 ahead of Tuesday. Just for the record. and I'll gladly send it back to you, Jimmy, you know, and also pay you if it goes the other way. But I am not in the least bit worried about that.
Yeah, I'm not exactly banking on that some kind of miracle comeback there, but
no, I
guess we'll cross that bridge if it happens.
We will, but I'm just telling you, I already had Mrs. O go get cigarettes because I was like, I can spend this. I'm not worried. I can. So, yeah. You know, because I would have held on to it just to be safe. You know, and like, okay, let me hold on to this just in case it goes the other, but no, I'm not worried at all. So that's the bet about, Brian Kemp and Stacey Abrams and the race here in Georgia for governor. There is some, you know, there's some room for contention, when it comes to the other races in this state, but that race, and right now, even the, predicted.com, which, me and Mike like to look at where you can bet, basically on a dollar. What happens is they have a certain percentage, right? And you pay them, say, like, you know, if it's a 60-40 kind of bet, right, where they think it's 60% chance, well, you pay them the 60 cents and you can collect 40 cents along with your 60 cents back. So you get a dollar for your 60 cents over there, and you can make a lot of $1 bets, right? And Predict It is funny because they've got it at something like 94 cents, I think, right now, for Brian Kemp. So you can make 6 cents on your dollar for Brian Kemp if he loses. If he wins, because, that's where they're at, like a 94% certainty that he's gonna be the winner. Wasn't like that a couple weeks ago, but I told you, no way in hell. I mean, totally stolen, completely, absolutely, way, you know, multiply Donald Trump conspiracy theory by 20 if they stole this election for Stacey Abrams in Georgia, okay? Seriously. I mean, literally somebody would have to sit there and physically destroy the opponent's ballots while simultaneously manufacturing brand new ones for Abrams, and I'm talking about not a couple hundred or a couple thousand. I mean millions, both ways, they're going to have to do in order to make it even look like she squeaked by with a victory. So I think it's almost impossible. It's too much to steal. Even the CIA wouldn't try and bite that one off. Okay? So there you go, BP. That's my opinion, and I'm standing by it. But I give control of the show to you after I've said my piece. And anybody else can call in, 319-527-5016 or charles.ocelli on Skype, and I will call you into the show. BP, where should we go from here?
Oh, we could go anywhere, but I'm just going to almost say with this midterm election, and from what I've heard on TV, what I've seen on the news, mm-hmm. and what I've heard in commercials, I'm done with politics. I have reached my limit with this election. It has been nothing but ridiculous statements. I mean, you got the president taking time to give a speech in front of what was a tourist attraction in D.C., and now it's become a homeless slum, to tell us that democracy is at stake. Mm. We don't have a democracy here. We have a republic. And it's gotten to the point now that when you have people, when you have hosts of TVs and news programs making comments like, women voting Republican is like roaches voting for Raid. When it's gotten to that level, it's time to just bitch slap all of them and walk away and have nothing else to do with them. It's gotten to that point. I can't stand it anymore. The presidential election in 2 years, I'm not going to want to hear a damn thing about it, or I'm going to go off on somebody. I'm done with politics. Me.
Bringing the Baptist out of me, BP.
Regular Joe is trying to give you an amen, BP. I mean, that's pretty extreme.
I mean, when you hear some of the things that are being said right now, that democracy is at stake over this election, we're not even elected president. You know, the crook we've got in office right now, and I can guarantee you if they start looking through, they're going to find out he's a crook. And I've said it all along. Doesn't matter. Things are going to go on just like they go on, and every one of these non-politicians that are now running for office are going to turn into politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're already one, they don't want to admit it, and it's just going to be the same crooked roll down the road. I'm tired of the crooked roll.
See, welcome to my thought process, BP, because this is where I'm at.
I can get paid my income to do what I do and not have to deal with paying and footing the bill for this country to piss away our resources, all of our resources. Now, how many people have looked at their retirements in the past 6 months and seen them just deplete because of what's going on in the stock market and the way businesses are buying back their stocks and cutting people out and leaving them holding the bag? I'm tired of funding it with my tax money. Oh, if I could find a way to get paid, I didn't have to deal with this shit, I'd do it overnight. But it's impossible to do.
Did you see Mike Swanson's email this morning about the stock market and how ridiculously insane the situation is?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's the biggest house of cards, and why it hasn't collapsed yet, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the biggest, that is the question that essentially every time, and you notice I haven't been talking stock market with Mike lately, because I've got one question and nobody's got an answer for it, which is, why hasn't this collapsed? Because it should have collapsed already, and all it is it's being propped up so that, you know, a greater amount of a wealth transfer can take place here. So go in, suckers, bet on it. Go to that casino because it's rigged.
It's gotten so bad that I almost did this, but I'm worried about the repercussions from the federal government. But I almost went to the get your student loan paid off site.
Yeah,
and I was tempted to fill out the application and just insert the name of two places where I have personal loans and let them go ahead and pay them off.
You probably get it.
Just go ahead and get it and say, hey, you know, if these guys are getting $10,000, here's mine. It's what, $85.50? It's a bargain.
Meanwhile, I'm getting inundated with a whole bunch of like personal loan offers. And I don't have student debt. I don't. And by the way, I qualify for all kinds of special stuff, you know, being that I'm blind, right? I can get a Pell Grant and not have to pay it back, right? And I can also get a student loan before the Biden program, by the by, because a blind person going to college, they will set it up. If you can qualify for the student loan, they'll set it up so that you don't have to pay either that much of it back or a certain percentage of it, none of it.
Question. Was in school, a Pell Grant was just that. It was a grant.
Yeah.
You got it. This was back, especially when you were on the like community college, you were on the quarter system or the semester system, depending on where you went. But like at the community college system, it would pay you a certain amount for three quarters straight.
Right.
The fourth quarter, you paid your own. Then you reapplied.
Yeah.
The next year, it would cover so many. So where are people getting $10,000 in debt with a Pell Grant? That's the part I don't understand.
No,
are we paying off? A grant was a grant. You didn't pay it back.
No, that's true. But see, for me, as a blind person, my Pell Grant is a Pell Grant, and I can apply for a loan that they'll turn around and wipe also if I graduate. I've already looked at it. Matter of fact, I can make money going to college if I wanted to, online. The way I see it,
dollars of debt on something they don't have to pay back. That's what I've yet to understand that.
No, I looked at this. Yeah, no, I looked at this thing and it makes no sense to me, but the way I calculated is that I could probably, if I devoted some time to, school, I could probably make, you know, not a living, but I could probably make about an additional $6,000 a year for the next 4 years, and come out with a degree if I want. And, you know what I'll pay back? Virtually nothing. And that's previous to the Biden thing. Now, if the Biden thing stands, which I don't think it will, I think they're gonna reverse course on that real quick once they take control of the House and Senate. But if it stood, I could literally go and make a larger profit than $6,000 a year by a little bit going to school. I don't understand this situation because when I was younger and, you know, actually wanted to do it, it was a lot of money. I would have had to lay out a lot of money. I would have had to pay a lot, even with the loan and the grant. And then I would have had the loan afterwards like everybody else does. But for some reason, it shifted around about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and it became profitable to go to a university online. That's a little, well, see, that's little interesting thing.
Crowd going to school, and I don't understand this part. They seem to think that, okay, I'm going to go to school, and I'm going to take out all of these loans, and I'm going to get a degree in Sanskrit. Okay, now, when it comes to getting a job, I'm still going to be working at, you know, American Eagle, stacking pants. So what good was that, you know, college education that I got that I took out $127,000 on to go to just because, you know, it was an elite school?
Mm-hmm.
When the government took over the student loan business, what's one thing that you noticed about school? The price never went down. The price keeps going up.
It does.
Every year. Up and up and up. I could understand an education system that we were helping support and doing what we could to help keep costs down. But that's not the name of the game now. The government's in the business of providing the money to go to school. So what do you think the schools are going to do? They're going to go out there and get that money. Yeah. Every time the government has taken over paying for something in this country, it has ended up costing us 10 times what it should, because the government, the government creep. You know, this little thing suddenly becomes more expensive because you've got this person that has to process a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And the cost keeps going up and up and up and up. Name one school that has done what they could to bring the cost of an education down.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't think you can find one. No. Some private institution out there.
No, I can't name
it's ridiculous.
I can't name a school that brought. The only thing that I would push back against that with is one instance. And I think that it would be impossible for the government to take over. Like, if they did a Medicare for all, literally, I don't think that that would raise costs, because Medicare is very stringent. If they remained kind of the same system they are and they started to expand it, I think it would actually bring the cost down in healthcare, because Medicare doesn't pay the full cost. It never has. So I'm thinking that that's the only instance, because it's so out of control, the medical industry. That's
not the way our government works. You would think that would be the case.
Yeah.
But as it is, all of the big medical and pharmaceutical companies have got their fingers in the government now. They're the ones dictating price.
Well, right.
So if they come up with a universal health plan, all right, when they were offering Obamacare, several lawmakers came up with the idea, well, instead of American Affordable Care Act, why not just put everybody on Medicare? Offer it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, well, the cost would be astronomical, this, that, and everything else. Well, what, we just printed how many trillions of dollars out of thin air and jacked up inflation on 8-9% or more on everybody?
Well, that's
but
the
yet
other
we
thing.
Can't tackle a problem like healthcare in this country, where I don't think it would necessarily lower the price unless you completely cut the insurance companies and big medicine, these big institutional hospitals.
Right.
Unless you cut them out of the picture.
Well,
one of the biggest companies in healthcare right now is your local CVS pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because they have almost cornered the market on drug distribution for all of these healthcare companies, all of these insurance companies.
And that's why
it's
there's
one big knot. And until you cut that knot and free government from the influence of the pharmaceuticals and big med, you're never going to control the cost, because they're in bed with each other, and it's going to keep going up, and the government's going to keep paying it.
Well, and quietly, the real big issue there is the middlemen, because there's literally only three companies that handle drug distribution in the U.S., period.
Right.
And so there's less companies handling the middleman aspect of it than there is the retail or the big pharmaceutical company side of it, the manufacturer. So it's funny, that little bottleneck right there is where it all is in that. And nobody ever talks about that, by the way. The fact that there's only three places you can go to get drugs. And the drugs are the most portable, profitable, and constantly evolving part of this whole system. And that's
absolutely. But look at these old standby generics that have been around for. Look at insulin.
Yeah.
Why is insulin at a price that people have to decide? And this is the truth: whether they're going to pay for medicine or pay for food.
Yeah, I know.
When it's, I mean, you know, you don't take your insulin, you're going to die. Eventually, you're going to die. That's one thing we know about diabetes. Why is it so expensive for people to have a medicine like that that costs pennies per dose to make?
Yeah.
Why is it so much? Because the government and the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies are all in bed with each other. It's ridiculous.
Believe me, I know. Look, I had a wife died in 2012, and you know what? In 2010, when I was sitting there going, you mean to tell me that it's $300 for this little pen? Of insulin. I mean, cause she was a diabetic. That was $300. I was not earning a good wage in, 2005, you know? And, that was like a, well, that was like literally half of my household grocery cost. $300. And it was like, well, half groceries this month until I can figure this out. That's what it was. I mean,
you think about what we're going through now when their insurance gets changed every other year and it's okay, now your deductible was $350, now it's up to $1,000, or it's up to $1,200. And then we're going to hit you with this $50 copay for every office visit. Now that doesn't go towards what you pay out of pocket.
Right.
And then we're going to charge you this much for your drug usage through this program, but we're only going to cover so much of this drug. You're going to have to come up with the other part of it. When they run commercials for people to go and get an app for their phone to find the cheapest prescription within 60 miles, it's gotten ridiculous.
Yeah, well, but those...
It's real. I mean, that's to let you know just how bad it is.
Well, those apps
are... You have
to
find an app to be the cheapest place to buy something.
No, those apps are life and death. And the same thing happened even though I was, separated from my first wife, paying for, you know, the solution that went into a nebulizer for my oldest son who ended up with the asthma and everything else after he got vaccinated. You know, he had asthma, allergies, all kinds of stuff. Literally, we had to, put the nebulizer thing in his mouth every day when he was a toddler, right? And, it turns out that, the medicine he needed, cause, you know, couldn't use albuterol, had to use something special. And the albuterol is like next to nothing to produce, right? But this special, you know, other stuff, albuterol plus, whatever the hell it was, new thing they came up with that was apparently essential to him. Yeah, $800 for a supply, right? And that would give me like 2 months worth of what it was I had to give him on a daily basis. And I'm telling you now that as much as I hate it and I look back on it and think I was a fool, do I want my son to breathe? Okay, $800. You know, still handing that over to my ex-wife. Yeah.
And you've been backed into that position by your great government.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that really burns my ass is the fact that the government has gone out of their way to, in effort to get a couple thousand people on Obamacare, they have raised the cost for everybody to the point that for most people, insurance is too expensive to use. Mm-hmm. You have it. But you can't afford to use it.
Well, and that's the thing. These lobbyists and the way that this has been arrayed against us now is so out of control. I just don't know how you can make it worse at this point in time. I really don't. Because it's just, you know, I mean, literally looking at the calculations where people could fly to Europe, pay to stay in Europe, and pay to get a medical procedure there, and still not pay the price that they would in America. What is that?
When one election in this country generates more money spent on advertising than the gross national product of Africa as a continent, something is wrong. How many homeless people, how many veterans, how many drug addicts, how many people that are in need could be helped with the obscene amount of money that is being spent on nothing but just political ads?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. The amount of money that they've dumped into the Loser Abrams campaign here in Georgia could probably solve the homeless issue in Georgia. You know, and I made that argument that they could literally buy a couple of group homes in various locations across the state and house people that are, you know, the new term is unhoused, right? So you could literally house the unhoused with the amount of money that's being dumped into a campaign for Stacey Abrams that she's not even going to win. And then if you put Kemp's money in there, you could probably create the drug programs to cover everybody. All right? And then if you want to go with the rest of it, all the money that's going to get wasted on this, quite frankly, free school lunch for every kid, no problem, all of it. One shot, I bet you, in this state, if you took that money and repurposed it. But welcome to America. We're going to take a break on the Ocelli Effect, and God knows, maybe we'll get another tirade out of BP, and maybe we'll hear from you. 319-527-5016. That's the number to call or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype, and I will call you into the show if you ask me to. Charles.ocelli on Skype or 319-527-5016. The Friday night open mic on the Ocelli Effect continues for about a half hour more after this.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
Ever been bent over a barrel, screwed over, or dicked around? Call Alcock & Cox, attorneys at law. Standing firm behind our long record of success. Winning cases from microaggressions to fighting for your right for safe spaces. If somebody has ever screwed you over, we'll f*** them in the ass. Alcock & Cox. Attorneys at Law, 555-244-3425.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1960.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War.
By author Mike Swanson.
Ocelli.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. By Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Ocelli.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination broken into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into The Ocelli Effect.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Ochelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
By callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Final segment of the Ocelli Effect, live and loud right here on Ocelli.com radio. And we still have time to take your calls, 319-527-5016. We got a little less than 24 minutes left in the show. The final segment will be about that long. So 319-527-5016. You can get in on any conversation you want. And I think it's about to turn a bit ugly here, given what was discussed during the break that you guys didn't hear. But you can participate. Also, get in touch with me, Charles.Ocelli, on Skype, and I can call you into the show. But otherwise, take the initiative. 319-527-5016. Quick reminder, also, I am still sending out the stickers and other sundries in a flat envelope to anybody who contributes to the show before Selection Day, which is the 8th. Of November, so only a couple of days away, and I will be catching up on the rest of the work on the website as soon as I get off the air, but all that good stuff, and we also have another short attention span DJ theater going up on Mixcloud tonight, along with the last few. So anyway, with all that in mind, I want to turn it over to my co-host, B. Pete. We also have Nature Boy with us. Let's see, who else joined us? Regular Joe joined us, but he's dropped off, and Jimmy James still with us on the phone line. So there's that, but you could be there too, you listening to us live, if you're hearing us about, let's see, 23 minutes now to 10 o'clock, right? Well, no, sorry, about 20 minutes to 10 o'clock here Eastern Time on the 4th day of November. I'm turning my head to literally double check the calendar because I've been dealing with a lot of dates, but it is the 4th of November, 2022, allegedly, just around 20 minutes or a little less to 9 p.m., or excuse me, to 10 p.m. Eastern, if I can get this straight. If you're hearing us live then, you can call in. Otherwise, you need a time machine. 319-527-5016 or Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Send me a message, and I can call you into the show. B. Pete, the remainder, please take it over and tell us where we're going.
Well, I'm not really sure. Is there any point discussing politics? I don't know. If people don't have their minds made up by now, then I don't think they need to vote, to be honest.
There's that.
But right. This is a unique election period, I'll say. I've not heard the vitriol, even when Trump was running, I've not heard some of the things I've heard said by people against other people like I have in the past 2 months. It's really gotten pretty vile out there. And there's a lot of people on TV that I hope one day have to, I hope karma exists, because there's a lot of them out there that need a little visit down the road. I'd love to see it. Cause it's gotten ridiculous. I mean, I don't see how I'm getting to where the point I don't even want to deal with humanity anymore, because people are just so, they're either stupid or they're deluded. And I can't figure out whether there's more deluded people or more stupid people. I don't know. What do you think? Is it delusion or is it stupid?
I think it's a combination of both, to be honest. I think that the people have been so mind-controlled and brainwashed. I know that sounds extreme. by sophisticated high-tech methods of propaganda in many forms that we've created the society that we live in now. You know, where all of a sudden a message comes out, whatever it is, a meme comes out, and it affects a large part of the society. Next thing you know, family against family are separating themselves over an arbitrary idea that holds very little fact, that they stand behind it, when if they would just take a second before they took that flagpole, put it into the ground and calmed down and done some research, they could very well find what they're putting that flagpole down on is just a pile of sand built out of a pile of fallacies. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, yeah, it does. I mean, Doug Stanhope put it succinctly, I think, years ago when he said, you know, you're born into this world with only certain rights, and half of those get taken away by a government, and you sit there and wave a flag and celebrate it. Mm-hmm. You're just getting screwed. The ability for people to understand what's going on based on their education. If we're spending the money that we're spending on education, why in the hell are people so stupid? Why do they not know anything?
Because we're not spending money on education. We're spending money on training and indoctrination. Charlotte Isaby just nailed that to the core. When you start looking at her work, and you know, you combine that with social media, which is pure propaganda. Anything that comes off the corporate media is pure propaganda. I don't mean that as a hyperbole. I mean that in all honesty. We are living in a time of universal deceit, and I have a lot of people that I used to run in my social circles. I used to do a lot of art. And when the corona came out, it's like the true colors came out. I was a pariah. Put it like this. Here's a quick example. I'll leave it at that and throw it out back to you. In 2019, I was part of an arts organization. I got to volunteer the Year Award for working with an music educational program that was free for the schools for 15 years, right? The next year, I was persona non grata simply because I refused to bend the knee and engage in a specific medical procedure. And it was if I went from gold, if there were vampires, I went from gold to garlic. And it's really hard for me to go back into that social circle, even though I want to, I need to. But man, you talk about leaving a serious taste in your mouth, and I think I am one of many, in my case is minor, compared to the millions of people who have had their lives and relationships destroyed by the very thing we were talking about earlier, is this propaganda and mind.
Well, I can understand that. Jimmy, before I go to Jimmy and get what he thinks, it's something came to mind the other day, and it was when Musk bought Twitter and people being allowed back on and everybody else complaining, saying they were going to leave. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, we just went through this pandemic a couple years ago, and the stories are coming out now, although you don't see them to the degree that you should, that basically everything told to us by the government about the whole spiel, and we're still dealing with it today, you know, with every booster that comes up, that what they told us was either wrong or a lie, a blatant lie. And they worked lockstep to start closing people down that even questioned the lie that we now know are lies. And yet we're not doing a damn thing about it. So my question, Jimmy, I mean, there are people out there that are living, mental health is at a crisis in this nation. It's worldwide. People are just going crazy. They're being driven crazy by this crazy world we live in. But how many people out there, I think that the majority is delusion and not stupidity. We got a lot of smart people out there, but we got a lot of smart people that are still deluded to the point that they can't function in a normal, real world. What do you think, Jimmy? Are you there?
Yep, sorry. I was on mute.
Oh.
Yeah. I'd say people absolutely are delusional. They don't accept facts. Things they see with their own eyes and ears. And I think a lot of it's to do with hyper-cynicism. I mean, so what else would you like me to comment on?
I think part of it is the narcissistic personalities fostering in youth today. Everything revolves around them. You know, the participation trophy was just one step closer to full-blown narcissism. I mean, we've put them on that track. And now everybody is so worried about me and how the world revolves around me that the world's going to quit revolving.
I wouldn't make it a habit.
You can't have that many counterforces working against each other. I don't see how people aren't at each other's throats at this point. I really don't.
Some people are.
True. Some people are. And sometimes they can handle it in this neighborhood. It's a sad state of affairs out there, and I'm wondering if it's going to get any better.
Well, this week, I'm sure all of you heard that one article that went viral about amnesty for the COVID times.
Oh, amnesty?
Yeah.
That's one person publicly clot-clotted. Somebody needs to catch her coming out of the apartment about 3 or 4 dirt clots upside the head. Just as they say, lady, go back inside and rethink your position.
I think that's it. For me, I forgive because that's for a personal reason, but I don't forget. And I think there's a lot of people whose lives were destroyed by people. And as just like the SPARS pandemic by Johns Hopkins University said, that white paper, when the narrative starts falling apart, and it will, that section of the white paper is what we're seeing now. And the people that knew they were guilty are trying to find a metaphoric life raft because they know the time is short.
Well, now, I'm honest with you. If anything comes out of this new house, I hope it's an investigation, and I hope it's charges against Fauci. Fauci and the guy that was with Echo Health Alliance that was using the money in China to help fund this stuff, every one of them should be put in jail. And there's a trail out there easy enough for them to follow. They knew what was going on. See, and that's the thing. Our government colluded with media to keep that from us, and if anybody questioned it, they were immediately ostracized. Somebody should go to jail over this crap.
But here's the thing that I've seen with especially Senate hearings, their dog and pony shows. They go out there and they, you know, expose truth, have hearings, okay? Oh, and sometimes truth is revealed, but nothing ever happens.
I'm hoping whoever the new attorney general is, somebody gives him instructions to say, okay, now go after these guys, convene a grand jury, and put one of them in jail.
There's no teeth anymore. It seems like, okay, well, they have a hearing, they'll go blah, 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 they'll both shout and go on opposite sides, and then when the hearing's over, nothing ever happens, just like a WWE wrestling match. So I hope that they do. I think that a lot of justice needs to be served, and I believe in due process, and I think due process needs to be applied in today.
I believe in it, but I don't think it exists anymore.
I have real doubt anymore.
I mean, you look at the system the way that it is now and look at what some people have gotten away with. You know, for Hillary Clinton to be sitting there telling people, well, you know, those voices out there that are calling and agitating on the Republican side, they need to be held accountable. And I'm thinking, you're the one individual in this world that has never been held accountable for anything that you've done. Even this last stunt with this damn Russian collusion crap. You know, you talk about being held accountable? Jesus Christ.
She's a master at poisoning the well, the logical fallacy. And that's what she's doing right now. I mean, think about this, okay? The birther movement the one thing that everybody instantly identifies with Republicans and them white racists, right, was started by her during the primaries with Obama. Nobody knows that or thinks about that. Right before the emails came out at that time, what did she do to shift the narrative? Right? Putin and Trump colluded to steal the election. Now she's coming out and saying the MAGA Republicans are working hard to steal the election. She's poisoning the well. And as much as I think that that woman needs to burn in hell for the rest of her life, and the rest of the life she has here needs to be put behind general population in a federal prison after due process, you have to give credit where credit's due. And she is highly intelligent, and she has a sense of evil brilliance.
I don't think it's that. I think it's arrogance.
Oh, that too. Much. And hubris.
I think she's that smart. I think she's got people that are advising her that might have some good wherewithal, but I don't think Hillary's that smart. I think she's just an arrogant bitch.
Oh, I think she's an arrogant bitch, but I think she's highly intelligent. Or she wouldn't be where she was. She wouldn't be where she is if she wasn't highly cunning and intelligent.
Intelligence, I don't know how much of that figures into the cunning, but oh, she's a slimy one. I'll give it to you.
Oh, yeah. She's like a hyena.
But you look at somebody like, all right, she was Secretary of State. Okay, she's a member of the cabinet. Let's set her aside for a minute. What about James Comey? What about these guys that blatantly lied about things that were going on, signed affidavits to, spy on people during their campaigns and get warrants for tapping them and things like that? I mean, good and well that the information they had was bogus. Why isn't James Comey going to jail? I'd love to see him in jail more than anybody.
Because the people that run the system, that run the courts, aren't going to get prosecuted. It's like I heard somebody say a long time ago about the Queen. The Queen can never be prosecuted because she owns the courts. And it's like that with our political class, to a degree. To a degree, every once in a while, they'll throw one to the dogs, like a Madoff, possibly like an Epstein or a Ghislaine. Okay, somebody's got to take a fall for it. Boom, there you go. And the next story on the media mainstream is a celebrity who got caught in a sex scandal, and everybody's attention goes to that, and they just forget about the stories they just heard.
Well, I don't know. It's we're at the point right now. I really don't see how society is functioning. I'm surprised we're still hanging on. It's just disheartening to think of how things have changed in the past 30 years. That it's gotten to this point where, we have politicians that are blatantly out there. I mean, look at our president. Look at his mental condition.
Yes.
And how many people in this country look the other way.
If they're Democrats, and I have Democrat friends that will still support him because he is not Trump. And I can't think of a more unintelligent, asinine paradigm to go under by saying that I would rather have a demented person in the most powerful office in the world than Trump. I don't know, man. Unprecedented times we're living in, BP. Unprecedented times.
Why can't we have something better out there to choose from? I don't know. I've given up on being able to find somebody that, look at your leadership now on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, it's atrocious.
Why do we still have these people still there? Why Kentucky keeps electing Mitch McConnell, I will never know.
It's rigged. I mean, have you ever looked at an elections map?
Oh, yeah.
Gerrymandering. I mean, here in California, you have people that hold, or jurisdictions are in the Bay Area, yet they have spots all over the Central Valley, which is 80 miles away. If you look at the jurisdiction maps, it's a rigged game. I think it's part of a plan an agenda that has existed for a very, very long time. And I think we're starting to see the manifestations of the end game of that plan. And it comes down to a very simple thing. World government. World government. And this is the mechanism because they have to destroy the system we have to bring in their new one, build back better. Order out of chaos. The idea of the phoenix, and out of the ashes, the phoenix will rise.
I hope something comes out of this.
I do too.
I have doubts. I'm just wondering, you know, what's...
Well, I've let this exchange go completely unmolested because, you know, again, there's so much that we could try to dissect in a whole bunch of the loaded statements here about a bunch of things that, you know, you guys agree on, and I get it. I get it. I see it. Here's what I agree on and what I see, and here's where our realities can at least converge. This absolutely toxic mess is accomplishing nothing that is good for the people, you know. And it's interesting when people still are angry at Comey because, you know, at certain points, this guy is just the servant of the system that was needed at the time, and he served various parts of it and pretty well, and that's why he got to walk away, and that's why all these guys walk away. That's why all of these people in power get to walk away, because here's the thing. No matter what they did or did not do, and, you know, when it comes to the Hillary Clinton thing, it's like, ignored in all that mess is the very simple and provable stuff that, you know, if I was even in a remote position of power, with almost nothing behind me, if I had gone and violated some of the things that she did, I'd be under the prison. You know, there's a whole bunch of people that have been in the White House, in the cabinet, in the Congress, in the Senate, who violate all sorts of terms and rules and laws and everything, and just simple, basic, moral, ethical things that, you know, people would start to dig on them, and they would go to prison if they were a regular person. But, you know, no president serves a day in prison, do they? No matter what they did or did not do, no matter if they, you know, commit an extrajudicial execution of an American citizen, which, by the way, that was Barack Obama who did that. Regardless of what you think of the guy that he drone struck to death on his orders, right?
Oh, yeah, there was a couple that got, you know, driving while droned.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying is it doesn't matter who it is or what they did, and it could be murder, or it could be the assistance of drug trafficking, or it could be making sure you keep bailing your kid out of, you know, different crack-infused sessions out there while he's cross-dressing. You know, no offense to Lady MAGA there. But, you know, Hunter Biden, right? It could be the profiteering from the presidency, like Trump did. It could be the, you know, the various war crimes committed under the Bush administration. No problem. They're just international issues, right? No big deal. It
Trump
doesn't matter.
Money.
What's
Trump
that?
Lost money.
Trump lost what?
Trump lost money. He gained money from the presidency.
Okay.
He lost money.
Whatever. I don't want to argue the minutia or whatever. If you think he lost money, what can I say? The only way he loses money is if he runs a casino in New Jersey. But okay. You haven't seen his tax statements or his financial statements, really, so neither one of us has solid proof, do we?
He made a good part of his money back by what he was charging.
He's been raising money now for 8 years off of his runs for president, but, you know, pay no attention to that. And his properties didn't gain any sort of... What's that?
He paid for his first campaign. He rejected his presidential salary. And all them stories about supposedly having people stay at his hotels was proven completely fake CIA crap.
Okay. Whatever you say, boss. I'm not even going to argue with you. If you think he gained nothing from being president, okay. What can I say? I don't know how your math works, but whatever, not going to argue with it.
Let's try this one. His name was his profitability.
Yeah, his branding. Right. That's the one thing.
That dropped in half the minute that he exposed himself as a Republican.
He lost all the. You think the Trump brand is less profitable now? Really?
Duh.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Sued every day by every orifice of the federal government, was slandered by the press, had 50 former so-called intelligent officials, bureaucrats in other words, sign a completely malicious, lying letter that was intended to influence the American campaign.
Lovely.
In America. And these CIA clowns aren't supposed to be.
so you're not aware that members of the DOJ, that there are DOJ Department of Justice lawyers right now working on his behalf, defending him in lawsuits. You're not aware of that at all, right?
No,
that's a complete lie.
Government working on his behalf. He has his own legal team.
Dude, take a look at who's actually doing the work, please. Take public filings.
Trump would trust a government lawyer to defend him in anything. You really believe that?
No, I'm not brainwashed at all. There's public records. There's public records out there that show that that's what's happening right now.
Wait a minute. Jimmy, I have to ask, do you think Trump was responsible for any of the legal woes that he's got going on now? Do you think he brought any of it on himself?
Yeah, by running for president and not kissing all of the intelligence officials and the media and the Democrats' asses.
I see.
That's how he brought it on to himself.
I see.
And by telling the New World Order to go F off.
Can I ask you a question, Jimmy? Really, he told the New World Order to F off. Okay, I don't want to argue. I just want to ask a simple question and see if you and I are actually on the same planet, just real fast. Because
I want to throw something in too when you're
this.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, Chuck.
Because let's look at the review.
Okay.
When I said that China was responsible for this virus, you said no. That's hyperbole. That's crazy talk. Because Trump says it. I was right, you was wrong.
That's still inaccurate. That's still inaccurate because I guarantee you that it is impossible to track down the actual origin as for where it came from. I say that you could be correct. I say that you could be correct. I say that these things are well hidden. Okay, let's just get back to the one question I had for you.
So far, the government of Great Britain agrees with me, and so does the government of Israel.
There you go. Two totally trustworthy organizations. Yes. Okay. Let's go back to the one question I have for you. It's a real serious litmus test. Was Donald Trump involved in constant lawsuits before he ran for president for about, you know, three decades or not? I'm just asking you if that's true or false, or did that only start when he started running for president, Jimmy James?
Well, Chuck, the difference between civil lawsuits and people trying to put you in prison is pretty significant.
That's true. That's
sure,
true. But
lots of dirt suit now.
Okay, but I asked about lawsuits. Okay.
That's not what's going on right now.
Okay, but
they're trying to literally do anything to keep him from running from president.
Okay, so so what you're telling me is that I ask you about lawsuits. Okay, civil litigations, will separate them. So there were not constant civil litigations against him before he ran for president, yes or no?
I already said all kinds of people sued him.
That's
what civil litigation is.
Fair enough. And now, second part of the question, since you separated it, was he or was he not constantly under criminal investigation throughout the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s previous to him actually making a serious run, although he had exploratory committees out there several times for about 15 years before he actually ran, looking into him running for president. Were there not constant looks at his businesses and his practices by various government agencies before he ran for president? You know, looking into all kinds of stuff, like things he pulled in Atlantic City, stuff like that, in a legal criminal sense. Was that not also part of the equation previous to him running for president, or no?
No, yes. No criminal crap was looking into him. However, the orifices that run the trades commissions and things like that, of course, always look into billionaires and what they're up to.
Okay,
of course, Judy Giuliani's FBI was not investigating Trump. They were always buddies.
So there was no investigation regarding the Russian mob in the 1990s and the FBI with Trump at all previous to his run for president. Is that correct?
You got that right. In fact, Trump has had very little contact with anyone from Russia before he was president. He opened one bank account in case he would ever do business there, and he never really did.
I see, and he never had Russian nationals who took up residency in Trump Tower at all previous to his run for president. Is that correct?
Anyone that pays the money, I'm sure he rented a lot of crap. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Okay, so he didn't also give rent-free spaces.
No, that was already shown to be a complete and utter lie. Complete, utter lie, just said in the papers.
I see.
And now you're repeating it.
Okay, that's what you're saying, even though these things were entered into public records in courts, right? That they were completely fabricated back then by the prosecutors and people looking into it in New York and New Jersey. Is that right?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a whole bunch of different things that went on here that had nothing to do with him running for president, where indeed he had run up against plenty of interesting figures.
He was sued before he was president.
Okay.
Let's move on to his presidency.
Hey, I'm asking you questions. You want to move on to his presidency? Okay, well, you can do that, but we're actually out of time. So, you know,
one thing in before we go.
I'll just shut up now and let everybody else deal with it. But I think we've made it clear where you're at.
What happened on C-SPAN Live in 1992 with Senator Biden? It seems that a woman was talking to Larry King about how her daughter, Miss Reed, had just been sexually assaulted by her boss, which would have been Joe Biden.
Yeah,
what about that?
About Trump,
what about that? Yeah, sure, scumbags. Scumbags.
Sued by a bunch of whiny investors.
Scumbags in the DNC. Wow, no issue there. Go ahead, tear it up. You're right. It doesn't make any of this other stuff disappear. And we can talk about how it's not significant or not important, and I would only agree with you in that it's on all sides and nobody's got clean hands. But I'll leave it there. I don't disagree with you about 1992, Reed, accusations against Biden, Hunter, or Joe. I don't disagree with any of that at all, but that wasn't what we were talking about. Dave, you had something you wanted to drop in, and I turn it back over to BP, and I'll just shut up now. I'm done.
This will be really quick. You mentioned that Trump was, not you, Jimmy James, you mentioned Trump was against the New World Order. So, if he is, how come in 2019 both Pompeo and Jared Kushner attended the Bilderberg meeting if he's against the New World Order?
Donald Trump.
That is
those
Trump.
Two people you just mentioned.
Those are his right hand man.
What you think Trump? Huh?
Well, Pompeo was the head of the CIA. Was the head of the CIA. And then the State Department under Trump.
Pompeo was the New World Order. How come they're all against him if they're all buddy buddy?
Well, Gerald,
yeah, they love him so much.
Did his two-man his right hand and his left hand while he was in office, and both of them were part of his administration, attended the Bilderberg meeting.
Well, Kushner is
against it.
Yeah, Kushner as a special advisor was in charge of whole swaths of Middle Eastern of the Middle Eastern policies, right? I mean, I believe that's what Trump himself was saying. I'm going to leave all this stuff to Jared. He knows what to do over there. So he literally let Kushner make policy as a special advisor. I mean, that's from his statement. I'm not making that up. He broke the deals
that came known as the Accords?
The Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords. Yeah.
Who, as a state, had a total of $6 billion and would by now be completely solvent had old Joe Biden not start sending pallets of money over there, Russians negotiate nuclear contracts on their behalf.
But you still haven't addressed the question I asked.
Yes, I did. I said, I have no idea. I don't know why they were there. I don't even know that I particularly care where they go. I care about their actions and policies.
Yeah, I'd be worried about why the head of the CIA is meeting in private. I'd be worried about whether or not
there are some people that care more about works than words.
Okay, and I would wonder what work they're doing, having private meetings with other individuals who would absolutely be qualified as members of the New World Order regimes if they're having private meetings with people at Bilderberg.
You have a gathering of world leaders, and they're trying to get things accomplished.
So you're pro Bilderberg, is that correct?
Pro Bilderberg, yeah. Just study the history of Bilderberg.
I'm not asking him to study anything. I'm just asking if he's pro Bilderberg. So, are you all for that?
I said maybe they went because there was a large gathering of world leaders, and they had things they wanted to discuss.
Maybe it wasn't
that they wanted to party with them.
No, nobody said anything about partying, but the thing is that most of those meetings, and most international conventions are to be held, a lot of that stuff is to be discussed in public so that you can't hide a whole bunch of agendas. So the Bilderberg meeting is not a standard sort of thing where it's not like we're having a conference of world leaders like we would at a G7, G20, something like this. It's not the same kind of thing. But you think, Bilderberg is just one of those, well, it's just powerful people that get together and it's, business as usual. It's normal stuff, right? Like a G7, a G20, climate conference, any of that stuff, whether you agree with the agenda or not, irrelevant. But all this stuff that they do, that this is something you're kind of in favor of, yeah?
I never said I was in favor with the Bilderberg group, crazy bastard.
No problem. Okay, I'm asking. I'm asking, and I am a crazy bastard, yeah. No, I'm a crazy bastard. It's cool, but I was just curious if you were...
Bob Berg and all these groups are nothing more than orifices of the Marxists and the communists and the socialists and all these nuts that think they can rule our lives better than us.
Well, the Bilderberg would be more accurately like Fabian socialist, but yeah, okay, whatever.
It's elitist organization is eventually going to have more influence on our lives than they should. But where my main concern is just a few seconds ago, Chuck put an emphasis on the U in up, and he actually sounded Southern. I think you've been down below the Mason-Dixon line too long now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I'm just asking to really work on the Jersey accent for the next week. Because we can't have you sounding like me.
All right, I'll do that. Look, I'll get right back to the Jersey sound best I can, and do my thing my way. I will endeavor to do so, sir. Okay? I give you my word on that.
The word's up, not up.
You're right. You are correct, sir. Okay, so anyway, I accidentally triggered Jimmy James by saying something about Trump. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that, but there we go. Isn't politics fun, BP?
It is, but here lately it's been just such a drag.
Yep.
But other than that, yeah, I guess, we haven't discussed politics much here lately. We've tried to stay away from it. But yep. The inevitable Trump argument is that's just one we're never going to agree on. I'm hoping something happens in the next 6 months that just finally gets him, throws his hands up, and he goes away.
Nah.
And we don't have to deal with him anymore.
Nah, as long as he can still, you know, raise funds as he does, because I get my regular Trump 2024 official emails every day. And I get my products and services. I mean, everything from a Trump DeSantis flag, which I can put on my lawn, to a, Take America Back, all my merch and the red hats still. And they have plenty of warm hats we can buy now. All that stuff, I get merchandised every day.
Is it your understanding that a PAC and campaign fund, like they get an ATM card, you think it's like, they could just do whatever they want with it? Is that your understanding?
No, but when I see on official releases that, you know, some of this money will probably go to the legal defense of Donald Trump and all this kind of stuff, and it's merchandise being sold, I figure it's a fundraiser where, you know, because I do that once in a while, sell something as a fundraiser. It looks to me like, yeah, that money's being transferred in that direction, but do all PACs work that way? No, it's a very complex issue. But you do get to keep some of your PAC money when you're raising money to run for office, depending on how it's structured. We've discussed that on the show various times, and not just him, but everybody does. Talked about that with Abrams, in fact, that she's going to get to walk away with a nice chunk of change. What's that?
Do you think Donald Trump keeps any money from that PAC? You think he's using that money? You think he needs it?
Well, I don't know what he needs, but the idea that they're saying themselves as they release this stuff and offer it to me, that some of this money will be not just directed to the 2024 campaign, but also to his current legal bills, it does seem to me as though he's using it. So it's just an assumption.
Now, what about, I noticed your guys are interested in Trump's taxes. What about Biden's? I noticed that he only releases his personal income tax, which of course means nothing. I want to see that C form.
Hey, I agree with you that these guys ought to. I think that if somebody's running for an office like the president, that they should release everything about every penny they've been able to earn, so that we have full disclosure on it. I think they should all do it. So yeah, sure. It's
what
not
about
a
long form birth certificates.
It's not a
what
well
about long form birth certificates.
Oh please, I'm not going there with this.
What about college transcripts? How come Bill Clinton won't release college transcripts? What's going on there?
I don't know. I don't remember the issue with Clinton's college transcripts, actually. I mean, it's kind of lost in the sauce for me. I don't remember, but, you know.
That was Obama with the college transcripts. It was Clinton who didn't want to release his medical records.
Oh, yeah. Okay, no, Obama with the college transcripts, I remember. I don't remember a problem with Clinton's because, you know, he was a Rhodes Scholar and all that. And I think we got to see all that. But no, Obama, sure, there's a whole bunch of his history he didn't release. What can I tell you? I you know, that whole birth certificate thing I think is stupid, but,
started by Hillary. Let's put that on the record. The birther movement was started by Hillary Clinton.
And propagated by many people.
Why will he not just release a normal human long-form birth certificate? I got one in my drawer right now.
Well, I don't have one, and I'm having a hard time getting mine, to be honest with you. Hey, look, what can I say? I was born in this country, I assure you. But what can I say? I currently could not prove it either. I don't have mine. Many years it was not
asked to run the country.
No, but many years it was not required, even with background checks. You didn't need the long form for a long time. You know, I had a short form one that was pretty simple. It was on, you know, the banking paper and all that, but it didn't have all the, you know, all the details on it. That was fine enough for a long time. Now no longer. So I don't really give a crap about the government papers and all that when it comes to, myself so much, and it's kind of cost me, personally. So I don't have my long form birth certificate either. But like you said, yeah, I'm not an important person. There should be transparency if there's going to be a power handed over to somebody, especially financially. I'd love to know what somebody's gaining from, especially if it could be from a foreign country. And I don't care if it's Trump or Biden or anybody else. We should be able to see that. But, you know, everybody's got their game. So anyway, BP, I think we're going to close it out here. How do you want to close this one out?
Well, we can start with Jimmy and start with closing thoughts, and we'll work our way around to Nature Boy and take it that way.
Mm. Well, everyone have a good weekend, and if you can, donate to the Ocelli Network. Sounds like things are getting back moving at a more normal pace.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Professor Hancock's
appreciate that. Yeah, and
Professor Hancock is back on Thursdays, so that's all good. And yeah, more shows coming Sunday.
Yeah, and we're going to have, actually Chris is supposed to do a show this Sunday, and I appreciate you saying that for sure, Jimmy, because not enough people are betting me on the Abrams Kemp race to keep things rolling. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in. You know, if you all did, it would be great. I mean, hell, if every listener gave a dollar, I wouldn't ask for money anymore. I would take out any of the time that we even waste talking about it. But it's been difficult. I've had some issues here and had to pay for extra stuff, and I am keeping it rolling, and I'm going to keep it rolling as long as you guys actually support it. And actually, everybody who is on the call currently has put their money where their mouth is, whether they agree with me or disagree with me, or sometimes little column A, little column B. You know what? We have the open discussions, and we do get to learn things together. So it is important, if you want to keep an independent piece of media rolling, you know, get in on that, please. And now you can go to the donate page on Ocelli.com, because I got the website back under my control. So appreciate that, Jimmy. And you have any other thoughts, though?
That's about it. Other than that, I hope everyone listening shows up and listens to Aaron and Uncle, and hopefully Chris Graves.
Yes, that'll be on Sunday, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully Chris will be running 8 p.m. Eastern and then 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday Live. The Age of Transitions, and then 11 p.m. Eastern. I'm messing up my times today. 11 p.m. Eastern, Uncle the Broadcast now on the new night, both of them on Sundays, and hopefully you guys will join us for that as well. Appreciate you, and appreciate your efforts. Thank you, Jimmy James. So what next, B. Pete?
Nature Boy, any closing thoughts?
Well, like Jimmy James said, Donate. We got to keep this independent media going. It's getting more difficult as time goes on, but as time goes on, the need for things like the Ocelli Effect and other independent medias, Chris Graves, we need to support these people, because it's our last bastion of hope in a dark world. So donate, and I like the idea of the Ocelli coffee mug. I would more than willingly give a nice fat love gift to the Ocelli Effect to get one of those mugs. And to do a little shameless plug for the Wednesday show, tune into that. We have next Wednesday, we have Steve from Slow News Day and AM Wake Up. Really interesting guy, really interesting ideas. You're going to enjoy that. And then for second hour, I thought I'd bring us home a little bit with Mr. Regular Joe. Kind of a little bit of comfort food for the soul. Then we're trying to bring in more guests, so keep your eye out for it. donate, listen, share, do whatever you can to get the word out for the Ocelli Effect, and let's keep this ball rolling, gentlemen.
And the other thing, just to throw in with your message, Nature Boy, is I tend to listen to the suggestions from people who are participating. So, you know, you're a member, you sign up at Patreon, you sign up for the book, whatever it is you sign up for, and you actually contribute, you could actually contribute to what comes out of the network as well. Tell me something. You know what? I'd rather hear this. I'd love to hear you interview this person. How about this topic? You don't cover it enough. Yeah, I listen to suggestions as well. And you can write to producer1@ocelli.com. That's the number one. And you can let Nature Boy know what it is you want to hear on Wednesdays. Or you can write to info@ocelli.com and tell me what you want to hear anytime. Maybe you want me to get a different host. Maybe there's a host floating around that needs a home. And maybe I got to do that work because we need to add some more people. We need to add some more content. Let's get to it. Let's make it the way that it needs to be, because this will be the only place where you're going to have a real say in what happens on a network like this. So, you know, participate. Get involved. Chip in. Thanks. Anyways, BP, that really leaves you.
Well, you know, the election is, what, Tuesday? So in that respect, I'll say screw Biden, screw Trump, screw the Republicans, screw the Democrats, screw them all. One day we're going to throw an election and nobody's going to show up. Then I'll get excited. But other than that, support your local food banks. Do what you can to help your neighbors. Look out for each other. That's all we got. Of course, support the Ocelli Effect. Put a crowbar in your wallet and slip them a dollar or two. Everything helps and it adds up. But other than that, looking forward to next week. Yes, we got to get this poker thing nailed down so that we can start that rotation. And until next week, everybody have a good week and be safe, be healthy.
There you have it. Couldn't have said it better myself. I appreciate all you guys for listening. Jimmy James for calling in, Nature Boy for calling in, and of course the surprise from regular Joe, who we might hear from more regularly in the near future. Anyway, that's that, and the Ocelli Effect is done for the week. Hopefully the website will stay up over the weekend, and we'll be able to rejoin you starting on Sunday with Chris Graves and Aaron Franz and Uncle. Till then, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, remember, I'm merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.